The flights of Apollo 11, man's first attempt to walk on the moon. Here is your host of the CBC's continuing coverage, Gordon Donaldson.
Just about 2 minutes to go before the landing craft begins its descent to the moon. It should touch down on the moon about an hour and 7 minutes from now.
Nelson Benton at Grumman Aircraft is with Don Shields, the man who trained the Apollo 11 astronauts and who is waiting, like all of us now, for this in this 35 minutes until we get some word that everything is going well in this initial phase of the landing on the moon to come 1 hour and 5 minutes from now. Gentlemen?
Walter, since we are out of contact with the Apollo crew while they're behind the moon, we thought we'd look back. About 3 weeks ago, Don Shields, who is a consulting pilot for Grumman, was in the stack down at Cape Kennedy on the limb going through the landing procedure with Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. And Don, can you tell us about that occasion, what went on then?
Yes, Nelson, we were in the final testing phase of the lunar module just prior to getting the go-ahead for the lunar flight. And we were in the part of the test called the mission simulations. And this is a time period where we set up the lunar module and feed inputs into it to make the computer and the vehicle think that it is in lunar orbit and is making the descent to the lunar landing. And Neil and Buzz were flying the LEM during this part of the test. And specifically, it is set up for them to perform these maneuvers.
How did they do? How did it do?
Both fine. We came out very well.
You went through the equivalent of a pretty long length of flying. Was it everything right on the time? Took take the exact amount of time to do it and everything?
Yes, it came out quite well. I was able to get into the lunar module during one phase of that test, and this was the powered descent to landing, which will be occurring here in another hour or so. And I got to sit in the back of the LEM while Neil and Buzz flew it to the lunar surface.
They talk to you any more than they've been talking to Mission Control?
No more.
Well, could you give us just a very quick taking us down to the moon, what will be done, keeping it untechnical if you can?
Well, in order to get to the lunar surface, there are a lot of preps that even are not aware to the waiting audience, but basically, the lunar module guidance computer is set up with all the information it needs to carry us to the surface of the moon. At the time called PDI,
Power Descent Insertion,
right, the LEM is at the proper attitude to begin the descent engine burn and continue down to the surface end for the landing. So Neil will be standing in this position and Buzz in the right-hand side, monitoring the flight instruments and the information presented on the disky. And
that's this thing here that lights up and tells the spacecraft what to do.
Yes, and it makes sure that everything has been done properly.
And but it does just tell the spacecraft what it has been told to tell the spacecraft.
Right, that's correct.
Thank you very much, Don Shields. Walter, Don is most of the time flying right along in the mission with a simulator here at Grumman, so he's got to go back and fly down to the moon himself.
He's doing that for a purpose, isn't he? So that if anything comes up in flight, they're at Grumman or right along with the flight and can begin to make some analysis of what the problem may be.
That's right. You're sort of a simulated template, a profile for the flight. Is that what it amounts to?
That's right. We're watching everything that goes on during the flight. We're watching for any possible anomalies, which we will then begin to analyze to determine the reason for them. And we're all standing by, and as you said, we're all quite anxious.
And so far, no anomalies.
Right.
We interrupt our regular programs to bring you this special news report on the Apollo 11 flight to the moon. We now join the facilities of the National Broadcasting Company.
This is NBC News, the historic flight of Apollo 11. This is Russ Ward with Jay Barbary, NBC News. One of the most dramatic events in man's scientific conquest of the universe is little more than 30 minutes away. Astronaut Michael Collins traveling in the Apollo command ship and astronauts Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin traveling in their lunar module are about to emerge from the far side of the moon in a lunar orbit that is to start Armstrong and Aldrin toward the moment at which they will begin a powered descent to the moon's surface. Man's first landing on another heavenly body to occur about 4:17 p.m. Eastern Time. NBC Radio's coverage of the flight of Apollo 11 will continue after this message. The Apollo command ship with Mike Collins aboard is just now coming back into radio contact with the Earth following its pass across the backside of the moon. The lunar module scheduled to emerge in less than 2 minutes. This is the revolution of the moon. Let's go to mission control. Standing by now. The signal has just been picked up. Here it is. This is the revolution, the critical one. This is the one on which the lunar module is to descend to the moon's surface. Mission control now picking up the signal from, first of all, the command ship in just a moment or two from the limb itself. As is typical with the initial pickup or acquisition of signal, there is interference. Here we are. Houston, trying to establish...
Houston, Columbia, reading you loud and clear, how many?
Watch, bye-bye, Mike. How did it go, over?
Listen, baby, everything's going just swimmingly. Beautiful.
Great. We're standing by for Eagle.
Okay, he's coming along.
We copy out.
That two-way conversation between mission control and Mike Collins in the command ship. The Eagle, or that's the radio.
Columbia, Houston, we expect to lose your high gain sometime during the power descent, over.
Eagle is the radio code name for the lunar module.
You want me to run
Armstrong and Aldrin
here,
aboard.
No, sir.
They expect to pick up the signal from the limb now in just a matter of moments. The two vehicles now in their 14th revolution of the moon. The critical revolution, the one in which the limb goes down to the lunar surface. Here's the first.
We have acquisition of signal from the limb.
Everything running right on schedule. We should be getting voice contact from astronauts Armstrong and Aldrin in just a moment.
Russ, this is Jay Barbary over at near the Mission Control Center near the press site. We might point out that we're expecting signals any moment from Eagle, as you did, but however, Eagle is now approaching 9 miles
above
the moon.
Bye-bye, Eagle. We're standing by for your burn report, over.
There they are. And communication.
Roger, the burn was on time.
Frank Smith, how far away are we now from the actual powered descent phase of this flight? We must be getting very close.
Yes, we're about 10 minutes, 10 and a half minutes to the time at which we fire the engine again.
Until that firing, the men would simply stay in lunar orbit, would not go down, is that correct?
That's right. If they choose to, they can not make this particular firing and just continue orbiting the moon. It's a choice right now that I don't think they're going to elect.
Revolution number 14. As we circle the moon, the limb circling the moon for the last time before its touchdown, presuming, of course, all goes well, all continues to go well, and certainly it looks that way thus far. The powered descent phase to start at about 4:05 Eastern Daylight Time. It'll take approximately 11 and a half minutes from that point until those spidery legs of the lunar module make contact with the moon's surface. What would be their attitude at this point, Frank? Heads down, heads up?
They're still in the heads down position, Russ, but it won't come
right
now. They ought to be going to a heads up attitude about right now.
LH is minus 2,900. Roger, we copy.
At the Earth, right out our front window.
Now they're
looking at
their
Delta H. That's affirmative.
Program alarm.
Looking good to us, over.
1202.
All looking good. About 6.5 minutes now.
Good radar data. Altitude now 33,500 feet.
The 33,500, Frank, they go into that head-up attitude you were just talking about at 7,600 feet, 5 miles away from the landing site.
The 1202 program alarm.
They just said they could see the earth out of their front window, Jay, so I think they've probably turned over, and it sounds like they're looking at earth now.
Uh-huh. 6+25, throttle down. 6+25, throttle down.
Okay, they just went to 60% thrust, 6,000 pounds.
That means they've reduced them considerably, the thrust of their engine.
Same alarm, and it
that's right, it's only 6%. They're approaching high gate now.
This high gate is when they start descending almost directly.
The forward velocity is much reduced at that time.
Delta 8 looks good now. Roger, Delta 8 is looking good to us.
About 5.5 minutes to landing now. 5.5 and all looks good.
Roger, copy. Throttle down. Better in the simulator.
Better than in the simulator, is what he said.
Things look real close.
This is the landing these men have made hundreds of times in
altitude
practice.
Altitude now 21,000 feet, still looking very good.
Russ, this spot they're going to land on is just potted with craters. Small ones. You know, just a couple of inches in diameter or larger, up to several feet.
Okay, I'm still on flu, so we may tend to lose as we gradually pitch over. Let me try auto again now, see what happens. Roger. Okay, looks like it's holding. Roger, we got good data.
This is Columbia relaying the data from the LEM, from Eagle.
7 minutes, 30 seconds into the burn.
Columbia is still 69 miles.
300 feet.
Now less than 4.5 minutes to touchdown.
Well.
Eagle, Houston, it's descent to fuel to monitor, over.
72. Altitude 13,005. Velocity 9,100 feet per second.
Made it switch over time, please. Good. Roger, stand by. You're looking great at 8 minutes.
About 8 minutes again.
And correction on that velocity. Now reading 760 feet per second.
Just a P-64.
Just a little bit better.
Roger.
That 8 minute reference is time into the power descent phase, not time to landing. They're now just about 3 minutes 40 seconds from landing.
Final says we're go. Altitude 9,200 feet.
830, you're looking great.
At 7,000, I hit that high gate point.
Space descent rate 129 feet per second.
We copy.
They should be able to look at their landing point by now.
Yeah, they're right on. They should be right on the edge of the overall landing site. Just a few miles away now, 4 or 5 miles away.
Eagle, you're looking great. Coming up 9 minutes.
They should be able to see their point at which they will land.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good. Altitude 5,200 feet.
Now approximately 3 minutes to landing.
Manual attitude control is good.
Roger, copy.
Altitude 4,200.
Houston, you're a go for landing. Over.
I know that's
the
command.
I understand. Go for landing. 3,000 feet. Top alarm. 1201.
Roger. 1201 alarm. We're go. Same type. We're go.
2,000 feet. 2,000 feet. Into the ag. 47 degrees.
Roger.
47 degrees.
Eagle looking great. You're go.
Altitude 1600. 1400 feet, still looking very good.
60 seconds.
Lights on. Down 2.5. Forward. Forward. 30 feet down 2.5. Picking up some dust. 30 feet, 2.5 down. Break shadow. Four forward. Four forward. Drift into the right a little. Ready? Down a half.
30 seconds.
Forward. Ready?
descent a little bit slower than we
contact
anticipated.
Light. Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent.
How
did you? Host control both auto, descent engine command override off.
You're off.
Engine arm off. 413 is in.
Well,
we copy you down, Eagle.
An American is on the surface of the moon. In fact, two Americans.
The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Beautiful. More communication now between Houston and the lunar module. Let's listen.
Houston, that may have seemed like a very long final phase. The auto targeting was taking us right into a football field sized crater with a large number of big boulders and rocks for about the 1 or 2 crater diameters around it. And it required us going in C-66 and flying manually over the rock field to find a reasonably good area.
That's a voice.
Roger, we copy. It was beautiful from here. Tranquility, over.
That was command pilot Neil Armstrong.
Now we'll get to the details of what's around here, but it looks like a collection of just about every variety of shape, angularity, granularity, but every variety of rock you could find. The color is, it varies pretty much depending on how you're looking relative to the zero phase point. There doesn't appear to be too much of a general color at all. However, it looks as though some of the rocks and boulders, of which there are quite a few in the near area, looks as though they're going to have some interesting colors to them, over. Roger, copy. Sounds good to us, Tranquility. We'll let you press on through the simulated countdown, and we'll talk to you later, over.
That first voice was command pilot Neil Armstrong. The second was astronaut Buzz Aldrin.
Right, Tranquility. Be advised, there are lots of smiling faces in this room and all over the world, over.
All right, two of them up here.
Roger, it was a beautiful job, you guys.
And don't forget one in the command module.
Everybody's getting into the act now. Well, Jay, that explains why it took a little bit longer to land on the moon than we expected. They didn't want to put their land down in a rock pile.
Light columns at an altitude of 60 miles. The comments on the landing on the manual takeover came from Neil Armstrong. Buzz Aldrin followed that with a description of the lunar surface and the rocks and boulders that they are able to see out the window of the LEM.